Okay, we start today with a new series as announced on eschatology and with the theme of the return of Christ Jesus. And the topic for today is preparing for the Lord's return. So let's begin with by reading this. The passage today is from Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. Okay, let's read. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." Verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to keep watch, to be on guard and to be alert. We are your people and you are our God. You have called us and you have brought us into this position, Lord, to be great in your kingdom. So we want to live well, for your faithful servant is asking of you, Lord. We want to live well for you, making our deeds count for eternity, making the most of every opportunity that you give us to extend your kingdom and to run the race well, and finally to receive a rich welcome in heaven. Speak to us today, O Lord, and empower us to keep a good watch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the early 1990s, I was at Lancaster in the UK doing my postgraduate studies, and I was on sponsorship. My family came along, 3 of us, my wife, myself, and my eldest daughter. And a new addition came along while we were there. There was a newborn, Karen, that came, and there were therefore 4 of us in the UK. And as a sponsored student, I had to work very hard, because when I returned home, I had to show something that I achieved out of the sponsorship that was given to me. So I had to work very hard. And when the time came for me to return home, the air tickets were confirmed. It was guaranteed for the 4 of us to return home. But it was my duty to make sure that my passport remains valid, that it will not get lost, that it will not be tarnished, and I don't tarnish the image of Singapore. And so, so all went well. We kept our passport well. But there was a problem. The newborn was actually stateless. And so I had to make provision. I had to find a notary public in town so that he could verify my documents to apply for Karen for citizenship by descent. And so my professor helped me to find a notary public, and I registered and I submitted the application to the Singapore High Commission in London. So finally, all was settled. And when the time came, here I was at the airport. The SQ-747 was ready, all refueled with fuel sufficient for our travel back to Singapore. And so we traveled back through the clouds, back to Singapore, and it was home sweet home. But there's a greater calling for me in my life. As a believer in Christ Jesus, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And as Christians, we are here as ambassadors for Christ. And our future home is in heaven. We need to represent God the Father. We need to represent the Father's kingdom while we are here on earth. And to do the work of His calling upon us in our life, and so that when the day is done and we are called home to the Master, He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The Lord Jesus said that in my Father's house, there are many mansions, many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also be where I am. In John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. Jesus spoke these very profound words to his disciples. He spoke to them about his departure and also his promised return to receive those who believe in him as Lord and Savior, so that they may be where he is in heaven. But will we be ready when he comes? The key verse today is keep watch. Keep watch. Because we do not know the day or the hour of the Lord's return. To be ready, we need to keep watch and know what God has revealed to us in the word of his prophecy, and to understand that in the context of the time and season that we are in today. When the disciples of Jesus asked him for a sign of the second coming, Jesus spoke of a great tribulation that will take place, and that if those days were not cut short, no one would survive. Jesus will come again in glory and power to end the battle of all battles and to set up his millennial rule. But before the great tribulation happens, Jesus says he would come back in the clouds for his bride, that is the church. And of the day and the hour, no one knows. 1 Thessalonians also mentioned this. And so, if we do not want to miss out on Jesus coming in the cloud for us, then we better be ready, and we need to get ready even so right now. Knowing that his imminent return could come at any time now, how much more must we be spurred to be alert and to do what it takes to get ready? And what does getting ready involve? The Bible speaks of the certainty of his return. In fact, it was Jesus himself who promised and said that I will return. I'm preparing a place for you in heaven, and when I prepare a place, surely I will return for you. Also, in Revelations, in the closing chapter, that closing chapter alone says, I am coming. I'm coming soon. Yes, I'm coming. This reminds me of the time when I used to travel overseas, and on my last port, upon arriving, on my second last port, I will write letters home and say, the next port will be my last, and I'll be flying back. I will be coming back, and I'll keep repeating in the letter, I will be coming back. And so, in the closing chapter of Revelation, Jesus says, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Yes, I'm coming soon. And at the resurrection of Jesus upon Mount Zion, as he ascended to heaven, after he resurrected, he rose to heaven. And what did the angel say at that time? And the angel said, this, why are you looking up? Even as Jesus went through into the clouds and up to heaven. And the angel said, he would come back in the same way. He would come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And so when Jesus was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight, the angel said, why do you stand here looking at the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven. In the Old Testament, prophet Zechariah also prophesied. And he prophesied that on that day, his feet, Jesus' feet, will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. So that was a prophecy given by prophet Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 14, he says, the day of the Lord is coming, Jerusalem, when your possessions will be plundered and divided up within your very walls. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. This speaks of the Lord return and setting foot on the Mount of Olives at the Battle of Battles, which is what we call the Battle of Armageddon. And in chapter 12, Zechariah said, on that day, when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will strike every horse with panic and his riders with madness, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. Then the clans of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because of the Lord Almighty is with them. So this speaks of his second coming on the day of Armageddon. And Jesus' second coming has always been a hot topic. People are always asking him. Even his disciples ask him, what's the sign? What's the sign of the coming of the end of this age? And in Matthew 24:23, Jesus replied to them. They were asking, what are the signs of the second coming? And Jesus replied, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. This is going to be a time of terrible devastation. Jesus descends from heaven and victoriously sets up his millennial rule, the kingdom on earth, his kingdom on earth. And Jesus told them, so when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, the days would be shortened. So Jesus said, so when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, and he said, spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. And then he said, when this happens, those in Judea are to flee to the mountains, don't get back to take anything. How dreadful it will be for those in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unqualified, unequaled from the beginning of the world till now, never to be equal again. It's going to be a time of terrible devastation. This is talking about the tribulation and the great tribulation on the second half of the 7 year. Jesus then finally descend from heaven and will set the millennial kingdom on earth. So this second coming is talking about the time of Jesus descending upon the earth for the final battle, where he will win victoriously. And so you see that this portion of it in the context of the tribulation is actually predictable. So people who find themselves in the tribulation, surely they will know they are in the great tribulation. And so this part, Jesus has spoken when it will happen. It is predictable. Because Jesus said, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. And so, cross-referencing back to what Daniel said, to the question, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? And the prophecy of Daniel said this. It will be for a time, times, that means two times, and a half time. A time, times, and a half time. 3.5 years. So, prophet Daniel gave a timeline. 3.5 years after the abomination that took place in the temple. And this will happen at the midpoint of the 7 year tribulation, where the Antichrist will desolate the temple. How? A similar picture of it actually emerged in Daniel, where there is a person called Antiochus, the regent of this Greek Empire in northern Israel. He desolated the temple by offering a sacrifice of pig in the temple, and therefore he desolated the temple. And so this picture will emerge again at the midpoint of the tribulation, and that would be the time where the Antichrist will show himself and he will demand that people worship him. And those who do not worship him, who do not bow down to him, will be slaughtered. So, at the end of this period of 7 years, or 3.5 years after the desolation of the temple, Jesus would descend from heaven and set foot on the Mount of Olives to defeat the forces of darkness in the Battle of Armageddon. And the 7 year tribulation is a terrible time, and you wouldn't want to be there. You wouldn't want to be caught in the time of this tribulation. You are not yet there, and you wouldn't want to be there. And the Bible speaks of the hope of the people of God to escape this tribulation. Those who truly walk in His way will be the ones who will be ready. So, I present to you this chart that Pastor delivered in his sermon on the 17th of January 2021 on the second coming of Christ. And so this picture showed this timeline, the tribulation of 7 years. And the midpoint was here, where the desolation of the temple will take place, followed by 3.5 years of a great and terrible tribulation. But the rapture, the promise of the Lord Jesus to come and take his church as his bride, will come at the rapture, which will happen sometime before the tribulation. Sometime before the tribulation. So it could be any time now. So are we ready when the Lord Jesus comes? This is the day of the Lord's coming in the clouds, the rapture. And Jesus, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, says this, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So this is a word of encouragement. It is the promise of the Lord that he would come back before that great and awful period of the tribulation happened. He will be coming back for us. But our responsibility is to be watchful and to be ready. Be ready for the groom who delivers his bride from the coming wrath. So the Lord Jesus is coming back for us. And this is the promise of Jesus, that he will deliver the church from the coming wrath. And he will not be delivering the church into the wrath, nor will he even deliver the church through the coming of the age. But we, his church, will be delivered from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. This I quote from Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. He will come to deliver the church from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. And concerning the end times, Jesus said that we should be always on the watch and to pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. And of the different Bible translations in English, 14 different translations use the phrase accounted worthy to escape or counted worthy to escape, and in NIV is that you may be able to escape. So this is the escape route from the tribulation that is about to happen. And so I emphasize that the rapture can happen anytime. And so the second coming of Christ, so to speak, comes in two phases: the rapture and then the final coming of the Lord, who will step upon the earth at the Mount of Olives. So these are two distinct events, two separate events. And Jesus spoke about the time of his return, that means the first part of it, as an unexpected event. And Jesus said this, "But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So I've made the distinction about the Lord's second coming, landing upon the Mount of Olives, as something that is predictable. So when the Lord said about this, that he will come at a time that people do not expect him, this is talking about the rapture. So many will be unexpected of him. It's an unexpected event. But for those of us who know and understand the prophecy of His word, we should not be unexpectant of His return for us. So, when must His followers be ready? Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. In Matthew 25, in this parable of the 10 virgins. And the parable of the 10 virgins is a great lesson concerning the coming of the Lord at the rapture. These are the words of Jesus Himself. At that time, the kingdom of heaven, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom here is Jesus. And the 10 virgins are supposedly Christians. The bridesmaid, they are Christians. But some are ready, some are not. The 5 of them were wise and the 5 were foolish. Although the 5 were wise, 5 foolish, they were all virgins. So you can say people would consider them as pure and good. But it will take more than a good heart to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to be raptured. So there's something more, something important that we must know how we are to be prepared. They that were foolish took the lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their jars with their lamps. And notice Jesus said the wise virgins took oil, which this oil represents the Holy Spirit. They took oil in their jars. The foolish had no oil in them. And the Bible says that they were virgins, pure and clean, but they omitted the oil. And so the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And then the virgins woke up and began to trim their lamps. In this last hour, we must trim our lamp. And the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they went away to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. The virgins who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And later when the others came, they said, "Lord, Lord, please open the door for us." And Jesus would say, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." The bridegroom does not recognize the foolish virgins as part of the bridal company. So, do you think that the parable of the 10 virgins has nothing to do with the coming of the Lord? It has everything to do about the coming of the Lord at the rapture. And so, verse 13, the Lord Jesus says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." You do not know the day or the hour. And we are in the final hours, and we must therefore trim our lamps. So, don't miss the boat. In Noah's time, all but 8 of them, Noah and his family, missed the boat. They missed the boat because of indifference, because of unbelief. And so it would be at the rapture, Jesus comes in the clouds to take away the bride, the church, those whom he has set for himself. These are the people who will be ready for him. Those who are indifferent, the indifferent Christians, will all be left behind. So, Jesus has actually set a seal of his ownership upon us. When we prayed to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Jesus comes upon us. And the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that this is that Jesus set his seal of ownership and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So, the resurrected Christ Jesus, who is preparing a place in heaven, will come back soon for the church, his bride. The promise of Jesus, the groom, is that he will deliver his church from the coming wrath, the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. And when could that day be? Does anyone know when the day of the Lord's coming will be? And Jesus in Matthew 24 says, but about the day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. So when Jesus was with the disciples, he said, not even himself know of this, when the timing would be. But I believe surely Jesus would know now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he tells us to be ready. We may not know the day or the hour, but we are told to look out for the time and the season. Know the time and the season. And Jesus tells us to look out for the sign of the times in the parable of the fig tree. And he said, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you know that it is near, right at your door. And many prophetic watchers are actually saying this, the sign of the fig tree, this sign of the fig tree is about Israel's formation back as a state of Israel, which came back into being in 1948, after a couple of thousands of years of the Jews being in exile. In 1948, they came back and started and formed the state of Israel. And so, the budding of the fig tree, referring to the state of Israel in 1948, is very significant. And Jesus said, truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. So when you see this sign, you will know that this generation will see all these things happening. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The guarantee of the word of God. You may have your view about how to measure a generation in years, but if I were to use the nominal lifespan in Psalm 90, verse 10, and this is actually the prayer of Moses. Moses, who lived 120 years, and in the prayer of Moses, in Psalm 90, verse 10, he says, our days may come to 70 years, or 80 if our strength endures. So if you calculate, the state of Israel is now 74 years old. Within the 70 to 80 years of this nominal age for a generation that I read into. So be careful how you live, so that you will be always ready on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. And so, we need to pay attention to the signs of the times and looking at what is happening in this age and season. Also, pay attention to the world, to the things that are happening in the world events. We are not to speculate about the exact day or the hour, but pay attention to the sequence of events for you to recognize, to know the potential fulfillment of Christ's words as they happen. That he say the day is coming soon and he will come in the rapture. And Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains. So we are not to be alarmed when we see all these things happening, but to know that these things must happen. Wars, rumors of wars. But this, Jesus said, is only the start of the birth pangs. But we have been receiving wars and rumors of wars for ages. And so I believe that we are up to the point of the delivery stage. Just take a look at this seismic monitor. I went into it on Friday, just 2 days ago. And so, if you can see, these are earthquakes. The yellow spots are the ones that happened the past week. Those in blue happened on Thursday and Friday when I went into this website. And then, elsewhere is recorded on the right side, the earthquake of magnitude 5.3 in Japan happened on the 7th of October, and so on. Southern Alaska on the 7th of October, and so on. You go down the list. And so these are the many earthquakes that have taken place. Okay. All this within the past few days. And the yellow ones are those in the past week. And many of them are not even reported because it's like the norm. So unless you get a very big one with a lot of devastation, and in fact last week over the news I saw some of this taking place. And there's one very near us in Java, in Indonesia. So pay attention to the signs of the times, and this will tell us of his imminent return. Amir Safati, the founder of Behold Israel. I tune into his channel from time to time just to be on the alert of what is happening in the Middle East. And Amir Safati says that this is the first time in the history of mankind since the Tower of Babel that the whole world was brought to its knees, referring to the COVID-19, that the whole world was affected. And he said this is the first time it actually happened, that globally we all came down to our knees because of the COVID-19 situation. Right from the time of Tower of Babel, such has not quite happened. Even in World War II, there were countries that were not directly affected. And right now, there's chaos in the Middle East. The Middle East is going to be the seat and the focal point of the last battle to be fought, Battle of Armageddon, where the forces of the world will converge. And I take a look at the situation in the Middle East from time to time, and unreported, there's actually an undeclared war going on over there. One more critical point that will happen prior to the tribulation would be a peace plan. And this peace plan is actually will set the stage for the dawning of the tribulation that is about to take place. And this is about the signing of this treaty that would also finally allow the rebuilding of the temple. And when that happened, as I've mentioned earlier, the abomination of the temple will take place at the midpoint of the tribulation. And so, a question: what would the day of his appearance be like? And the Lord told us what it would be like from precedence in the Bible. Like in the days of Noah, people will be carrying out business as usual. When the flood came, they were totally unprepared. So let me read. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, the rapture. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with handmill, one will be taken, one will be left behind. Talking about Christians in the workplace, one taken, one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So, just like in the days of Noah, it was business as usual. It is business as usual for us now. In spite of all that is happening around us, we take it as business as usual. And that's why many will not be expecting of the return of the Lord when he comes. For Noah, did God deliver Noah into the flood? No. He delivered Noah and his family out of the flood. They floated safely on the water. And what about the case for Lot? Similarly, before God rained the brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent angels to get Lot and his family out of the city. And so, God will deliver his church from the coming tribulation by rapturing us to meet Jesus, to meet him in the clouds. And so, God will remember his church on account of Jesus before the coming tribulation by rapturing the church to meet Jesus in the cloud. And our part, Jesus says, is that we must keep watch because we do not know the time and the hour. And we must endure to the end, like the words given to the church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. It says, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." So, we watch and we pray. Concerning the signs of the end times, Luke records Jesus' warning to be always on the ready so that we'll escape. And since we recognize that this is the very last days and that we are on the threshold of his coming again soon, we have to wait upon the Lord with great expectation. It's an unexpected event for most, but for us, it must be with a sense of a great expectation of his return, unlike those who are unaware. "For the Lord is my shepherd, and I will follow him." And so you check your heart. Are you anticipating the Lord's return with great excitement? Or are you saying that, hold on, Lord, I'm not ready? Whether we are ready or not, when the Lord comes, that is His timing. And so, we, by constantly praying, we will build a relationship with God, and which will give us confidence and to come into His presence and to have access to God the Father. In our waking moments or when we are resting, even in our sleep, that we find ourselves to be in the presence of God. We need to be walking firm in our faith, for the days are evil and it's going to get more and more evil. And Jesus forewarns that at the end times, there will be widespread failure to endure. He's talking about believers. Okay? There'll be widespread failure to endure. So that's why this word that we are to be enduring through these times is very important. How do we endure? So Jesus forewarns that at the end times, there will be widespread failure to endure because, he said, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. So we need to be studying God's word so that we will know God's way and that we will not fail into doing acts of unrighteousness, lawlessness, which will consume people at the end of days. So, guard against this. So, we will yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, who is given to us at the point when we leave and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is our guide, and He is our comforter. And the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us in our walk, in this journey of faith. And so, we need to be anointed of the Holy Spirit. We need to be anointed of the Holy Spirit. We can ask readily, we've covered this in the past sermon, we can ask readily to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit for empowerment. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 3 says, because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. The name of the Lord is a fragrant ointment or oil poured out. We are the lamps of God and we are to shine the light of Jesus. And so, unless we receive this oil, how are we to shine the light of Jesus? So, we need to open ourselves, receive and ask for more of the Holy Spirit, the oil that will propel us to shine the light of Jesus. And today, the fullness of the Spirit is flowing. It's for the asking. We ask in faith and we receive. There is no scarcity of it now. Now you need it, now you ask, now He gives it. But if you wait until the rapture, like the five foolish virgins, you will not have it in time. You will miss out. Because at the rapture, at that very moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the rapture would take place. I don't know, you know, we blink our eyes, but in the twinkling of an eye, what's the duration? How to measure? You need special device to measure. Maybe the optometrist can tell us. In the twinkling of an eye, in 1/10 or 1/100 of a second, the rapture would have taken place. So the rapture is a miraculous event. And we need to be bright, brightly shining the light of Jesus. And with that, with the oil that is in us, that will be the oil that will propel us when the rapture takes place, when Jesus comes in the clouds. If your body, the lamb, is to be changed in the rapture, the wick of the lamb, the wick, W-I-C-K, the human spirit will have to be trimmed just right so that it will draw the oil and illuminate and shine the light of Jesus. So we need to have our spirit man trimmed. The human spirit is represented by the lamb wick in the parable of the 10 virgins. And so when the lamb wicks is properly trimmed, it will give out great light. Just like when we need to trim off the dead branches, we also need to trim off the deadness of the spirit, those things that have come and clouded us and have made us turn away from the things of God. We have to trim them off. Trim also has another meaning, and trim in the nautical side is talking about balancing the ship. You have to trim the ship to be on even keel. In my mid-20s, I was a sailor. I navigate ship from port to port, and my duty at sea was to be a watchkeeping officer. Navigate the ship, be a watchkeeper. In port, my role changed to become a cargo watch officer. My duty is always to be on watch, to make sure that the ship is trimmed. The cargo containers that you see being lifted off from the container ship in port, they are being offloaded and new ones being loaded at the same time. And it's all according to the sequence of the port planners. And so if we leave it alone, you will soon find that the ship will be taking the toll of it, will begin to dip by the bow, the front, or dip by the stern, or begin to list to the left or to the right. And so it would be my duty to make sure. So I'll go to the control room, handle the switches, and to transfer the ballast water from tank to tank, so that at any time, the ship will be kept on even keel. And so you may think that, okay, at sea, you must be trimmed. In port, what's the big deal? We're in safe haven, but not quite so. Because if left untrimmed, it will affect your cargo operations when the ship is tilted too much. They cannot offload the containers. Or worse still, the ship may even capsize because it's not balanced. And so I have to be diligent. Otherwise, the captain of the ship, incidentally, the captain of the ship is also called the master of the ship. Okay? So if I'm not diligent in my job, the master will be most unhappy. So likewise, we are responsible for our walk in faith, and the Lord God, our master, expect us to be trimmed. And we find that in our life, quite often we get off balance because the perspective of God in us sometimes get warped. And so we do things that may be out of His favor. We do things that are not what we are supposed to do as a believer of Christ Jesus. But God expects us to do the trimming. Don't expect God to shift our cargo burdens away. He expects us to do the trimming ourselves. By trimming our lamps, we we will keep the fire burning. And what does that mean in a practical way? Some examples I can quote is that when we keep our fires burning, what will be the result will be that we will not fail to be meeting up with one another. We'll be meeting with our fellow travelers. We will not absent ourselves from the cell meeting, because that's the time when Hebrews says, spur one another on towards love and good deeds, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So when we see that all these things are happening, instead of slackening, all the more we must be gathered together to encourage one another in our Christian walk. And in the watch list, I come to the next point on covenant. So we have covered watch and pray. Then we have covered anointing of the Holy Spirit, trimming, and now see covenant relationship with the Lord. And this is one aspect that is very important, because we are to remain faithful in our covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus. And Pastor covered this extensively last week. Right? So, we are responsible to keep our part of the covenant. And one of the ways, keep faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Obey His commands. And we can keep watch by making a self-check. And you may have a self-check whether we are maintaining that covenant relationship or not. Do we honor the Lord our God? Do we honor Him on the Sabbath, for instance? And this is the time right now today that for the family of God in Bethesda community to come and gather at this place at this hour. Because this is the appointed time that the Lord wants us to be gathered together to worship Him together, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. To come with the right heart, that today we are here because we are meeting up in this special anointed place at this special moment to worship the Lord our God. So in your checklist, are you putting this as the priority for this hour today to be here? So, other checklist. Are we consistent in our prayer life? The prayer life that we have, how is it? Okay, so these are the checklists that we can have to make sure that we are keeping our covenant relationship with the Lord intact. My final point for today on WATCH is H for heavenly focus. Heavenly focus to me means that to preach the word wherever I go, share the good news whenever there is an open door. When I find the open door, we need to share the good news. In other words, we be faithful to the great commission that the Lord has given us upon His ascension to heaven. He gave us a commission on the great commission. And I personally find it a great motivator when I look heavenwards and yearn for the Lord's return. So I'll look up and I just hope that the Lord will come now. And I find that that is a great motivator for me to walk in a watchful way, in a prayerful way. And Jesus is our light. With that light of Him going out through us, we become the light to shine the gospel. And that when we are shining the light of the gospel, it is the Holy Spirit that will be working in our midst to draw in people into the kingdom of God. We are just the instruments of God's peace. And the instruments of God's peace must be brightly lit to draw people to the kingdom of God. And Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says this, that those who lead many into righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. I like this verse. Those who lead many to righteousness, those who bring people to the kingdom of God, they will be like the stars shining forever and ever. So right now, maybe we can bow our heads as we ponder upon these things. And so as we bow our heads, just consider what the tribulation period is going to be like. What a terrible time it will be. No wonder John in Revelation said that people ran, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." When the rapture takes place, the light will go out, leaving people behind to grope in darkness. Where will you be? And I hope that you will be like the wise virgins who are taken away to be at the wedding feast. Revelation tells us that the lukewarm Christian will be spit out of the mouth of God into the great tribulation, into the same darkness of the five foolish virgins. The lukewarm will not be part of the bridal company. The five foolish virgins, remember, were shut from coming in with the bridal party and were left behind in the tribulation period. Many Christians will be spit out into the tribulation period. Jesus said of the church of Laodicea, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." And on the coming of the kingdom of God, Jesus warned that, "I tell you," this is about the kingdom of God, "I tell you, on that night, two will be in one bed, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together, one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding, one taken, one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come." So today, if you are hot in the Spirit of God, the oil, the Holy Spirit is burning brightly in your lamp, you are on fire for God, the Holy Spirit fire is in you, you are ready anytime the Lord comes. But if not, make sure to trim your lamps right now. We are so valuable to God that Jesus went to Calvary to provide the means of salvation. Jesus leaves us with his Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing our eternal inheritance. So don't reject the Holy Spirit. If you have received Jesus, you continue to persistently live. If you have received the Lord Jesus and you persistently live in a life of sin, you only grieve the Holy Spirit. If today you recognize that you are a backslider, or recognize yourself as a lukewarm Christian, get your life in order to walk in the way of holiness. And if you find yourself in such a situation, I invite you to pray this prayer as I say it out. You just say this prayer in your heart sincerely to the Lord, so that you will get back to be the wise and faithful virgin. So you pray like this, and this is for those who know that they are lukewarm, they don't care much about
what the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives, make this prayer. And this prayer like this. Oh God, I'm lost. I'm so sorry that I've sinned against you, but today I want to come home, like the prodigal son who returned and the father received him so heartily and restored him. I renew my covenant with you as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to serve you, O Lord, the rest of my life. I will do it, Lord. And I believe the blood of Jesus washes away all my sins. So come on in, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And Holy Spirit, empower me. For I declare that I want to walk that faithful walk and to be ready when you come. In your precious name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So if you sincerely pray this prayer from your heart, the Lord restores you. In the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, live your life well for the Lord. Let your body, your lamb, be holy in His presence. Keep your wick trim. Shine brightly for the Lord Jesus. And in response, shall we stand to sing this song, Lord, Prepare Me. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we take heed to your word that says to keep watch, and that, Lord, that we are excited about your soon and coming, and that, Lord, that we want to live this life holy and pleasing to you. So, Lord, just bless us with more of your Holy Spirit, with the oil in our lamps to be burning brightly for you, to shine for the Lord Jesus and to wait upon your coming expectantly, unlike those who do not know of your prophetic word, who do not understand, and they are taken by surprise. Lord, today we want to be ready, and that, Lord, that we therefore tell you, Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. For we wait for you. And that, Lord, in the midst of all this, that we will remember, Lord, to keep our watch, to watch and pray, to be anointed of the Holy Spirit, to consistently trim our lamp.